I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is March 7th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, Baptist pastors prayed for Obama death on President's Day. Preacher says, ask God to make his children fatherless. The article begins, while a handful of Americans might have taken a few minutes to reflect favorably on George Washington and Abe Lincoln on President's Day, some evangelical leaders devoted their time to praying for Barack Obama's death. My comment, another great demonstration of the love of Jesus by our evangelical leaders. I wonder how Jesus would have reacted to his ministers behaving like this. Continuing, the imprecatory prayer is a favorite of Arizona's Baptist preacher Stephen Anderson and Orange County's Wiley Drake, who told supporters in an email over the weekend that the supplication is now your duty. My comment, oh well, if it's their duty, then that makes it different. I'm just wondering, how is this not treason? The article continues. Drake told Daily Beast columnist John Avlin, if you have an evil leader above you, you pray that Satan will stand by his side and you ask God to make his children fatherless and his wife a widow and that his time in office be short. My comment. Yes, Jesus would be very proud. True Christian values on display for everyone to see. I'm curious as to what evidence Asswipe has that Obama is evil. The only evil I see here is Wiley Drake. Oh, now I get it. Drake's still holding a grudge because Obama chose Rick Warren, Drake's rival preacher in Orange County, to give the prayer at the inauguration. Interesting how one Christian can pray for the death of another Christian whom he doesn't like. What is it anyway with Christians and death threats? These guys make the Taliban look like the Peace Corps. Continuing, Anderson has said he hopes Obama dies of brain cancer today. My comment, another wonderful Christian leader. These dipsticks prove that Christians and Muslims truly deserve each other. The article concludes, to those offended by the sentiments, Wiley responds, I'm praying the word of God. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. My final comment. He's right, folks. Death threats are God's favorite pastime. These clowns are only following the word of God. Between them, they don't have the common sense of a kumquat to figure out right from wrong on their own. And now we move to the science segment. A man in a vegetative state talks. He communicates through brain waves linked to a computer. The article begins, a man in a deeply unconscious state for 5 years has been able to communicate with doctors using only his thoughts. In a study, one Cornell neurologist called a game changer for the care of patients in a vegetative state. British and Belgian researchers used a brain scanner to show that the man was able to think yes or no answers to questions by actively changing his brain activity. A co-author of the study said, "We were astonished when we saw the results of the patient's scan and that he was able to correctly answer the questions that were asked by simply changing his thoughts. For the first time in 5 years, it provided the patient with a way of communicating his thoughts to the outside world." And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to India. Though Katihar in East Bihar is proud of its medical college, there are hundreds of people living in the nearby villages who would not seek modern medical treatment for their children when they fall ill. They submit them instead to a local godman who claims to have magic powers to cure anything from malaria to malnutrition. Baba Yadav made the poor and illiterate villagers believe he was able to transfer divine energy through the soles of his feet to their ailing little children, and they allowed him to perform a barbaric ritual. A camera team of the Indian TV channel Headlines Today caught horrifying scenes of the crazy Baba trampling brutally on the tender bodies of hapless infants. He puts one foot with his full weight on their thighs and genitals, the other on their throat, muzzling their screams of deadly terror till they nearly suffocate. This is nothing but child torture in the garb of religion. But nobody ever stopped the crazy holy man, neither the gullible villagers nor police and authorities. These cruelties are allegedly going on for some 20 years now. The perpetrator is even making a living out of them, as the deluded villagers would shed away gifts and money for his blessings. Nobody knows how many babies have suffered dangerous injuries and sooner or later died as a result of this treatment. And nobody knows what deep psychological wounds and scars this haunting experience has caused in the survivors. In a live program on Headlines Today, Sanal Ida Maruku called for an immediate stop to this madness and for action against the God-man. He accused the authorities of tolerating these crimes in the name of religion for political expediency. During the program, pressed for a statement, the health minister of Bihar refused to take any action as tradition and religion were involved. Nikhil Shudhari, member of Indian Parliament, from the Hindu Nationalist BJP, elected from Katihar, where this happened, said if people are benefited by this ritual, they have the right to have it performed. He did not hesitate to defend this barbarism as a respectable part of local tradition. So did the Swami, a spiritual head and chief priest of Kashipith. Sanal Ida Maruku urged him in the program over telephone to use his immense influence among believers and stop such dangerous superstitions. The program made an enormous impact. After less than 24 hours, the God-man was arrested for child torture. And now we have a bonus section tonight on religion. Virginia debates, are human microchips signs of the Antichrist? These aren't the best of times, but the state legislature in Virginia is debating whether they might be the end times. The involuntary implantation of microchips in people might be the biblical mark of the beast, a Virginia state legislator contends, and should be outlawed. Comment: what a moron. Obviously, this fool has never opened a Bible. The article continues, now I'm not a theologian. Let me break in here. We all had that one pretty much figured out, Slick. The article goes on. Republican Mark Cole contends that privacy is the main reason he's sponsoring a bill. But there's a prophecy in the Bible that says you'll have to receive a mark in the end times. Computer chips might be that mark. Comment: it's just as likely that your signature is the mark. Why do you think the mark has anything to do with computer chips? The article goes on. As the theory goes, chip implantation by employers and government for information gathering or monitoring could lead to a totalitarian state controlled by the Antichrist, similar to the one foretold in the book of Revelation. Comment: that already happened, but Bush is out of office now, so relax. The story concludes. This is part of a larger attempt to constantly read current history in the light of the symbolic language of the book, an expert says. A foe of the bill is less charitable. He said, at least when Nero fiddled, they got good music. My final comment. Let's hope these last two guys have enough pull to shut Butthead up. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Phineas Taylor Barnum, born 1810, died 1891 at the age of 80. P.T. Barnum was an American showman, businessman, and entertainer, remembered for promoting celebrated hoaxes and for founding the circus that became the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. His success may have made him the first show business millionaire. Barnum was also an author, publisher, philanthropist, and sometime politician. Born in Bethel, Connecticut, Barnum became a small business owner in his early 20s and founded a weekly paper, The Herald of Freedom. He moved to New York City in 1834 and embarked on an entertainment career, first with a variety troupe called Barnum's Grand Scientific and Musical Theater, and soon after by purchasing Scudder's American Museum, which he renamed after himself. Barnum used the museum as a platform to promote hoaxes and human curiosities, such as the Fiji Mermaid and General Tom Thumb. By late 1846, Barnum's museum was drawing 400,000 visitors a year. After economic reversals due to bad investments in the 1850s, Barnum began 4 years of litigation and public humiliation. He recovered, starting a lecture tour mostly as a temperance speaker. And by 1860, he emerged from debt and built a mansion. His museum added America's first aquarium and the expanded wax figure department. While he claimed politics were always distasteful to him, Barnum was elected to the Connecticut legislature in 1865 as a Republican for Fairfield and served 2 terms. He ran twice unsuccessfully for the United States Congress. With the ratification of the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution over slavery and African-American suffrage, Barnum spoke before the legislature and said, "A human soul is not to be trifled with. It may inhabit the body of a Chinaman, a Turk, an Arab, or a Hottentot. It is still an immortal spirit." In 1875, Barnum was mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut for a year and worked to improve the water supply, bring gas lighting to streets, and enforce liquor and prostitution laws. Barnum was instrumental in starting Bridgeport Hospital, founded in 1878, and was its first president. Barnum entered the circus business, the source of much of his enduring fame, at age 61, establishing P.T. Barnum's Grand Traveling Museum, Menagerie, Caravan, and Hippodrome, a traveling circus of freaks, which by 1872 was billing itself as the greatest show on earth. Barnum was the first circus owner to move his circus by train, and the first to purchase his own train. Given the lack of paved highways in America, this turned out to be a shrewd business move that enlarged Barnum's market. And we have an oddity in famous quotes today. Barnum is widely but erroneously credited with coining the following quote: "There's a sucker born every minute."
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.